May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Whew, I think I'm back. Just came from a conference in Birmingham where I spoke 8 times in 3.5 days and then prayed for a lot of people. So I'm having to reorient, re-entry into being here. I'll just share something that came from the conference and that I shared there. The concept's not unfamiliar, but I just think it's something we have to be reminded of again and again. In the Song of Solomon, without doing all these explanation, there's this the whole group of believers who are born again Christians. But then there are those among them who've decided to press in as far as they can possibly go in moving towards Christ-likeness and experiencing and expressing the fullness of Jesus. Whatever price they have to pay in surrender, whatever it requires, they've signed up. They're referred to as the hidden ones in the Song of Solomon. And in the first part of the Song of Solomon, as the Shulamite, one of the believers, daughters of Jerusalem, observes a group of other Christians who've kind of been cut out of that. They're moving farther up. They're not just settled with going to heaven and going to church and doing work in the church, that kind of thing. They want to go far as they can possibly go in him and grow in their union with Christ. Their oneness with Jesus become more and more manifest. And the Shulamite decides to sign up for that. I want to be as surrendered as I possibly can be. I want to love you as fiercely as I can, and I want to become as like you, as much like you, manifesting your presence as a human being can possibly do. And so there's this prayer, take me away with you, Lord, and let us run. It's been so good to know you, to be born again, to know I'm going to heaven, to serve you, to have a heart for you, but I want to go to the place that you created for me to go. I want to live out your destiny for me. I want to live a life of lovesickness for you and Christ-likeness as I express your fullness. That's what I want. So take me away to that place. I want to go farther. I'm not content. And she says, and the king brought me into his chambers. He always answers that prayer. He'll always do it, always. And when he first brings you in, from chapter 1, verse 5 on, is the story of what happened. And the first revelation that this believer got, who's wanting to press in and go farther up and farther in, the first revelation they got is so important, and it's not by accident, because it's one of those things you have to hang that's foundational to walking this thing out as we grow in maturity in Christ. And the revelation that she got in that first place of growing in him, having responded to her prayer, take me away, let us run. The first thing that Jesus shows this believer is this very simple thing. It says in chapter 1, verse 5, I am dark, but I'm lovely. So significant, because what this believer came to realize is that the things about them that are so imperfect, that aren't yet polished, even those places of weakness and frailty and failure, again, the imperfections, she's not the only one in the story, or the believer's not the only one who knows about those things. See, even the people that we live with don't always know everything, but he knows the thoughts and the intentions of our heart, according to Hebrews chapter 4, and he's saying to the believer, as we go on this journey, understand, I understand it all. I know all this stuff. And yet I love you. And see, the process is being transformed so that the weaknesses and the imperfections are no longer governing us, that we're experiencing an exchange, where we're being set free, that in those places where in our flesh we're always prone to be uniquely weak in our own particular humanity, that he's setting me free. And it says in 2 Corinthians 12, in my weakness, his strength is being perfected. And so it's nice to know that in the journey, as you're passionately desiring to live a surrendered life, desiring to live by faith, desiring to carry and express the very fullness of Jesus, to be Christ-like, but not by imitation, but by manifestation, by participation in his very life and manifestation. I talked to a clergy just recently who in this ministry thing I did, and their whole Christian life has been trying to get to the place where they can experience or they can attain union. They came from a Christian background where like being one with Christ was the ultimate goal, and there was all these books, this, sort of from a Roman Catholic perspective, and you're running for union. And I said to him, here's the deal. You were born into union. It's part of your inheritance. Now you walk it out and grow in the experience of it. And in the process of doing that, you learn to participate in his life. When a man and a woman get married, the night the marriage is consummated, they're one. They're one flesh. Then they explore all the wonders of being one with another person. But it happens the moment in your, as a Christian, your new birth. Boom. You're born into it. And so we're one with Christ in the sense, but we need to grow in our experience of that. And it's by participating in his life and manifesting his life at an ever-increasing level. And in that process, sometimes we don't get it right, do we? Sometimes, maybe you're not, maybe this is not your story, but sometimes I sin. Sometimes I blow it. And I get really frustrated with my weaknesses and my frailty, because mine's different than yours. Mine has a different flavor than yours. We're all unique in that way. And it's so nice for me to know that he doesn't give up on me, that it's not a surprise to him. We sort of established that at the beginning of the journey. He understands, and he invites me into the journey, though I'm not perfect yet. I don't have it all together yet. So it's wonderful to know, okay, and I blow it. Oh, Lord, I'm so dark. And he's going, yeah, but I love you. Now let's confess this, get up and go on. But here's the other thing about this word dark but lovely. The word lovely means, the Hebrew word literally means perfect fit. That's crazy. Said, Chuck, come, I invite you in to this place of growing maturity, and I know all of your weakness, and it's a perfect fit for me. And I reference back to 2 Corinthians 12. For in my weaknesses, his strength is made perfect. For power is perfected in weaknesses. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. Now, we've certainly talked about this enough over the years, but you see, my weaknesses don't disqualify me. They're the very thing, that's the very missing ingredient that allows his power to be perfected. And the enemy's always accusing us when we fail. One, God doesn't love you. He's disappointing you. That's not true. I'm dark but lovely. And then two, you're never going to get there. You're just too messed up. God's not threatened by your weaknesses and your frailty. He makes his power perfect in that context. It's a perfect fit for his power and his ability. You certainly can live a victorious Christian life, and your unique set of weaknesses don't disqualify you. He won't leave you in weakness. Remember what I just said? Power is perfected in weakness. When I'm weak, then I'm strong, but it's strong in his strength. Your weakness is given an opportunity to display his ability and his adequacy, his power through you. And I just can't tell you in my own walk after 40 years how comforting that is to me, that my own particular brand of fallenness doesn't disqualify me, doesn't cause him to back off from me emotionally, and doesn't disqualify me from the ability and the opportunity to live a truly victorious life in holiness, to live a supernatural life, and to grow in union, manifesting the very life of Christ. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.